Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, we've been talking about issues that churches have to deal with, diseases that churches have to deal with, and we kind of got a little out of whack. We started backwards.
We were really out of whack. If you listen to the previous podcast, man, God bless your heart. That was a hard one to listen to. You muscled through that 28 minutes of maybe not the best thing in podcast history.
Oh, it was good. It was good stuff.
But this one, we're going to make it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're doing Chuck Lawless's 10 Diseases That Might Be Afflicting Your Church.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. That's Mark Clifton right there.
And that's Dan Hirsch.
And there's Kyle Bierman sitting over there, who's basically producing and
playing Candy Crush
and adding to the scintillating talk.
Well, because Halleck is on sabbatical.
Halleck is on sabbatical.
That's right.
And when he comes back, boy, are we going to fix him?
That's right. That's right.
We'll have some really good programs lined up for him.
Last week we looked at the bottom 10 diseases that affect a church.
Bottom five.
Mm-hmm. This week we're going to look at the top five.
Right.
Top five diseases that might affect your church.
And hopefully come up with some ideas
yes.
that you can do to...
We're not just going to tell you what's wrong with your church.
Yeah.
We are going to tell you in 20 minutes how to fix it.
All right. Shall we start with number one?
Why don't we start with number one?
All right. The first one, and this is from an article or a blog by Chuck Lawless.
Yep.
Yeah. And he said that here are the 10 diseases that he sees in unhealthy churches around the country. And this is the first one, community disconnect disease.
Isn't that the truth?
I love, you know, I've known you for what, 112,
actually,
14 years?
We've known each other all of our lives.
Yeah. And so I've watched you in the churches as you've pastored, and you take this to heart. You make sure that your church connects with the community. I've watched you do that. When you were at Warnell Road, you guys got real involved with the community. You went to Linwood, you got real involved with the community. Talk about that.
I don't. It just seems like why not? I mean, what's the point if you don't? I mean, Lawless says here, churches with this disease do not know their community. Church members drive to church. They get out of their car. They go in the building. They do church. They get back in their car and they drive home without ever taking note of what's going on around them in that community. And they might have a couple times a year, they might do a block party on the parking lot and then complain because nobody came to church the next Sunday from the block party. But if that church were to close, nobody other than the members would care. That's a problem. I mean, your church needs to become a part of the fabric of the community. Even people who never walk into the door of your church should know, somehow or another, my neighborhood's better because people who love Jesus are here, mm-hmm. and that church, those folks make a difference in people's lives. Look, if that's not happening, you're not being a disciple. I'm sorry. You're being a church member. But within walking distance of your church are people who are struggling with stage 4 cancer, people who are struggling with addiction to opioids, children who are in abusive situations, people who are trying to deal with Alzheimer's with a parent or with a spouse, people who financially have lost everything and are just worried about being evicted from their apartment. I could go on and on and on. That's happening all around us. And we just drive into the church, have our meet, drive home, we can't do that anymore. And it's not a matter even of just once a month giving out clothes and giving out, that's fine. But how do you become part of the fabric of the community? You need to wake up every day and say, it's not about how many people are in our pews. It's about how big is our ministry footprint? How many lives have we interacted with this week that are better because somehow or another, the people who love Jesus loved them this week. And you don't do that unless you know your community. And you don't know your community unless you spend time in your community. And I can't tell you how many times I sat with a pastor and, you know, he doesn't know what to do. The church is in decline. It's been in decline for years. Well, tell me where you volunteer, pastor. I mean, these are full-time pastors, right? I mean, maybe their church is 100, 150 people and they're full-time. Tell me where you volunteer in the community. And they don't. They're not volunteering for Meals on Wheels. They're not volunteering to help with the ad hoc committee against crime. They're not engaged in their community. You know, when I was at Warnell, you mentioned it one time, I got really involved in the school system, in the Kansas City, Missouri school system. It's still a difficult place, and it was not accredited at that time, and the ball fields were terrible and weren't safe, and they were dangerous, and I went to all the ball games. I was the character coach for the football team at Southwest High School, and, boy, I was there one night, Hurst, and the field, they had to put wrestling mats over some holes on the sidelines because they were such deep. And there's no way. I said, if kids were in suburban Kansas City, the parents would not let them play on a dangerous field like this. All the lights weren't on. It was a terrible place. And I had some phone numbers of some of the news people in town. So I just texted them and I said, you got to come out and take a look at this. Well, they did. They came out during the game, took a look at it, put it on the news. And the coolest thing was the cry on underneath my picture was not Mark Clifton, pastor at Warner Road Baptist Church. It was Mark Clifton, community activist.
Oh.
I'm thinking, yes, that's what the pastor should be. Not in a negative way,
yeah.
But the one there to draw attention. These kids need a better place to play. It has nothing to do with my church. It has to do with I care about them. And why do I care about them? Because Jesus cares about them. All right.
All right.
You got me going.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
I'm done now.
I'm glad.
All right.
All right. I can't say this word. What's the second one here?
You're going to have to say the word. I can't say it either.
What is it, Kyle?
Say it for us.
Methodological arthritis.
Wow, that sounds sounds painful.
I got a doctorate just so I could pronounce this.
Well, and you've done good.
What it means is the church is stuck in doing it the same way all the time, and it's too painful to try anything else. We're stuck in our ways. We're not flexible. We can't move. So we're just stuck in our ways. So, and, you know, you can sit down with the church and you can say, you know, we really, really don't need to have 12 business meetings a year. Because we go through these business meetings and no one really comes. And we just go through the motions. And maybe we could rethink the way we do church governance. And maybe we could streamline it and make it a little more effective. And they just can't do that because they've never done it like that before. They don't have any flexibility at all. I know all of us at our age got some arthritis, right? So you got like your knee, you know, I got arthritis in my knee. I'm not flexible there anymore. I can't move quickly. I can't adjust like I used to. If it doesn't exercise itself, you will become arthritic where you can't move quickly. And then it gets even worse. It doesn't get better on its own. And I think this is a really, and how do you keep that from happening? Man, keep them doing something. Even if it's an older church of just a bunch of older people, get them involved in some activity, some missions activity locally, something. Keep their mind and their heart active, thinking about what Christ is doing in their community and their neighborhood and their world. Again, we mentioned earlier through using cooperative program videos and IMB videos and NAM videos, and let them see the world's a bigger place. Get them involved in some kind of missions activities. Man, just work them out. Because if you just let them sit there, they will become stiff and immovable.
Yeah, and they've got to exercise. They've got to exercise it on a regular basis. Number three, I like this. The grass is greener syndrome.
Yeah, that's a melody of leaders who are always looking for the next church leadership position. They establish no roots. Their current congregation is a stepping stone to the next place. I mean, that's pastors who say, I'm only here for a while. I'm not going to be here for very long. Or a youth minister or a music minister or whatever. Feeling like if I could just go someplace else, it would be so much better. And
sometimes your congregants.
And sometimes your congregants are the same way, yeah. Right? Rather than say, look, this is where God has called me, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm not leaving, but it's so easy for us in our mind. This is, and one of the ways we can look at it is what our friend Jared Wilson says. We got to love the church we have, not the church we wish we had. So that's another way of saying that I don't like where I'm at, but man, if I was at this church, or if I only had these kinds of people, or if I was in this kind of community. Look, if you had that church with those kind of people in that kind of community, you'd have all kinds of problems you don't have here.
Sure.
I mean, it isn't ever greener on the other side. It's green to be where Christ wants you to be when he wants you to be there.
And this hits one of the key, you know, one of the big four that we talk about in replanting: preach, pray, love, and stay.
That's right.
And this kills stay.
That's right. Right?
And you mentioned this. Like, it's God can move you to another place.
Yeah.
But sometimes we confuse the Holy Spirit with the state convention's job board.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes if you want to leave just because you, and this is easy for me to say because I'm not in your shoes, but if the reason that you want to leave is to escape the pain and the hurt and the conflict, think long and hard about that. The reason you leave a church is because the Lord has removed that burden from that church from you. Again, Paul said, I'd like to come and spend some time with you at Corinth, but I can't because a great door of opportunity is open and I have many adversaries. Adversaries are not a reason to leave a church. They're a reason to stay in a church.
Well, so, but what if you have lost your passion for that church?
Right.
Is that a reason to leave?
It's a reason, first of all, to ask, is there something spiritually wrong with me? Have I lost my passion for Jesus? And then secondly, yes, is there a time, you know, even my dad didn't go to very many churches. I think he had three, and he loved them all dearly. And he never left a church that he didn't love and cried and wept and, you know, broke his heart because he loved those people. But he specifically would say to us as a family, my burden here has been lifted. I don't have a burden for this place that I did when I came. God has removed that from me. And so there was a sense in my dad's life where he felt like, man, every day the Lord's just giving me a passion and a burden here. And all of a sudden, over time, that's been lifted. It's time for me to go somewhere else.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so he'd been there 10, 12, 15 years.
So it may not be a negative thing.
No, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it's the Lord's ready to move. He wants to bring somebody else in there. You were there for that season. Mm-hmm. And it's not, man, I can't wait to get away from these people. They're driving me nuts. Or, man, I wish I had a better church with a bigger house and more money. It's like, you know, I've noticed I don't have the passion for this that I had. I think the Lord's asking me to go somewhere else and let somebody else come in who has that passion. Hmm. That's a whole other topic for another podcast. But
well, that brings us to the fourth thing.
Yes.
And that is...
I love this one.
Professional wrestling sickness. No, or we should say wrestling.
Wrestling. I mean, Lawless says this. I grew up watching professional wrestling. It was always a hero versus villain, right versus wrong, good versus evil, but it was all fake. The church with professional wrestling syndrome talks a good game,
yeah,
but it's all fake.
Yeah.
There's really nothing going on.
Yeah.
Every Sunday you come and you talk about the spiritual warfare and you talk about the spiritual battles and you talk about, but basically it's just all for show. There's really nothing happening down below, down in the heart. Down in the passion. It's all just superficial. It's all just for show. We've all been in a church where we realize this is so thin. It's a veneer. There's nothing deep here, nothing real here, nothing life-changing here. I mean, people are here, and there's something going on, and it might be even entertaining. Goodness, wrestling's entertaining, but it's not real. It's not authentic.
And fake breeds fake.
And look, you know, there was a time maybe when baby boomers would put up with fake because we just kind of grew up with it. But man, Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, they don't put up with fake. They can sense it in a minute. And if your church is not authentic and not real, if it looks like it's veneered and phony, man, they're going to walk away from it. Yeah, sure. And they have. Right, Kyle?
Yes. And here's the good news. If you find yourself in this position, Revelation 2, the letter to the church in Ephesus,
yeah,
deals with this very thing. They looked alive. You have a reputation of being alive.
There you go.
But you're dead.
That's great.
So therefore, what? Repent.
Yeah.
And remember the works that you did at first.
Oh,
so,
man, that is so
you're,
good.
If you're in this position, you have the biblical pattern laid out in Revelation
that's
2,
right.
1 through 7.
You look alive, but you're actually dead. Man, yep. That's where we live as church replanters, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. All right, the last one. He says here, one of the last diseases your church may have is program nausea. Churches with program nausea try a program, they toss it too quick, then they quickly try the next one and the next one until everybody just gets sick. We've been on and off this ride so many times. Yeah. With too much motion sickness.
We're moving. Reading my emails, like this was my youth ministry life right here.
Unpack
this was it, because I would get a new program in the mail, right? You'd get this box, and this is the thing that's going to grow your youth ministry. And we'd run it for about 3 or 4 months. And when we didn't grow, I would go, well, this didn't work. Let's chuck it and move on to something else. Yeah. And you know what? So programs, they take time. They take time for folks to buy in. They take time to take root. And if you're constantly changing programs or adding new programs, man, you're going to burn your folks out.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, if you're looking for a silver bullet program to that's going to fix everything in your church, doesn't exist.
No.
Right.
There are good programs that can do good things in your church, but there's nothing out there that's the fix-all.
And we always say, one of the things we say in our conferences is that one of the symptoms of a dying church is an over-reliance on programs. We've learned to do that. We feel like, you know, we don't have any youth, we need a youth program. We don't have any children, we need a children's program. No, not really. The first thing you do is you need to have a passion for youth and children and pray daily that God would bring youth and children, that he would use you to love youth and children. Nothing about a program changes your heart. And so we're this program nausea where we're just on and off these programs all the time. It almost does make you sick. I get tired of, I don't want another program. I don't want another agenda. And pretty soon people quit listening to you and no programs work at that point. Yeah. And I remember one of the things Henry Blackaby used, people would come to Henry and say, Henry, we've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried this conference, none of it works. And Henry would say, that's right, none of it does work. The only thing that works is what Jesus wants you to do. And if you talk to him about it, and if you listen to him, rather than running down and finding another program to try to fix a problem. So, I mean...
And there's something you need to understand is that your people are sick of programs.
That's right.
You know, I was at a church where we had a new minister of education. And the decision was made, let's all go. You know, we need to all be rowing in the same direction. You know, the church needs to have a mission and a mission statement, and we all need to be going in the same direction. And that means that all of the Bible study have to be going in the same direction. So they got this idea that every class would be studying the same thing every Sunday.
Right.
There are churches trying to do this even right now.
Yeah.
But I went to this meeting, and this was presented, and the staff was all excited. Church staff was really excited. This is what we're going to do. And after the meeting was over with, this one gentleman came over to the table where I was sitting, and he's been in the church, I don't know, he'd been in the church for decades. And he said, this is the fifth time that we've tried to do this in the last 15 years.
Oh, man.
The same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing. And yep. It's just another program, and your people are sick of programs.
They are.
That's 5 of 5.
That's 5 of 5. So go back and listen to the last two podcasts if you have that kind of endurance. And and you'll hear about 10 potential diseases your church may have and maybe some ideas of how to fix them. By the way, we are at Dan Hurst House.
Yeah.
Casa de Hurst. Right?
Taco Emporium.
Taco Emporium in Lee's Summit, Missouri. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. And we're here doing these podcasts in his basement. And every so often, his answer machine goes off.
Yeah.
It has in both podcasts, actually. So you probably heard it in the background.
It's
an old one. It's got the tape, right? It's got the little cassette tape.
It's the mini cassette.
The mini cassette. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm grateful that you let that answer machine go off.
Right now, I'm sitting on the phone.
I saw that. While the phone went off, he grabbed the phone and he put it under his... behind
backside, and I'm sitting
he's
on
sitting
it.
On the phone to quiet it down.
Nothing but the highest quality.
I just hope you didn't take a picture of that at the same time.
Hey, I'm one of those tech guys. Okay, you know? I know how to fix
anyway,
things.
Hey, give us one more shot, please. Just one more podcast before you unsubscribe.
Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Please subscribe and tell your friends, tell your church about this. These are some good things that maybe your church needs to hear. And so invite them to listen to the podcast and just tell them, hey, I'm not saying that I agree with everything, but maybe you'd want to listen to this. And let us take the blame for it. And let Mark Clifton take the heat for it.
I will.
And we'll be back at the next one. We do two of these a week, by the way.
We do.
And then sometimes a special presentation.
Who knows? Friday. Yeah,
so,
Friday special.
So Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're always here. And then sometimes on Friday, if they let us.
That's right.
But come back. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.